1935, Coleman's Independent Radio. The artist is John Hyatt. That's one of those artists that you're probably not going to hear anywhere else in North Alabama except right here on Live 95. Coleman's Independent Radio, 26 degrees outside. Lord have mercy, I can't believe I even left the house today. We are WRJMLP Coleman, Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. And coming back today, for the first time in quite a long time, and hey, we're happy to have them back anytime they're willing to come talk sports with us. Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes bring you Sports Talk Live. And guys, today's topic, let me just set the tone for you.
Set it, baby.
The national championship, both teams have been defeated by Auburn.
Yeah, a little consolation match.
Just going to leave that there for you.
No, that makes Jason feel good.
Yeah.
That's something for him. Something for the Auburn fans to hang their hat on.
You know, Ronnie, there is.
But I'm here to defend Auburn.
Three different sets of Auburn fans right now.
Only three?
Well, yeah, three. Boy, I feel like I'm in an airplane or something. My ears are stopped up or something. This headset. But anyway, and see if you agree with me.
Okay.
You have the Auburn fans that are viewing this championship game, as I said, as a consolation match that thinks Alabama shouldn't be there, and even though they beat the number one team the other night, which
handily,
there are really questions about them being the number one team. But anyway,
yeah, I was eating lunch somewhere today, and they were replaying a lot of the game, and you know, a lot of the commentary before the game. And it was quite amusing to see everybody comment, oh, yeah, we're going to pick Clemson. Clemson's going to be. Uh-huh. Yeah. Nobody had. Well, I'm sure the Alabama fans had a clue, but nobody else had a clue.
You got the second set of Auburn fans who are just mad at the world right now because Auburn lost a game that didn't surprise me to Central Florida.
Me either.
And you have got the third set of Auburn fans who don't give a rip right now, like me.
I'm going to say, okay, are you in the are you category one, category two, or category
definitely
three?
Definitely three. I didn't care. Which you texted me before the game.
Yeah.
And I told Kathy before the game, I don't care who wins this game. If you're not playing for the big marbles, it don't matter. Those bowl games, players are bowing out now, not playing.
And Jason, you're right. And you know, a few years ago, would you have missed any of the bowl games?
No.
No. Neither would I. Would I have missed any of the bowl games? A few years ago, would you have had any players to sit out a bowl game?
Never heard of that up until probably last year.
That's exactly right. Never heard of. But I think that's the beginning. I think this is just the tip of the iceberg of where we're going with kids sitting out. You know, that bowl game, when it comes down to if they're going to have an NFL career, they're not going to play. Now, I blame them? No.
No, I don't either.
I do not blame them whatsoever for sitting at the bowl games. But, you know, it certainly takes some of the luster off of the bowl game when your best players, understandably so, and I'm sure there's criticism on both sides. You know, people want to criticize them for not playing. I would never criticize a kid for not choosing not to play under the circumstances that we find ourselves in
today.
Not
when his future is on the line.
Absolutely. When that bowl game means – it means absolutely nothing to me, to his career. Could a kid on the fence, you know, that's not sure whether he's going to even be drafted, to getting drafted, if he has a – really good performance in a bowl game, does that up his stock some? Yes, it certainly does. I'm talking about those kids that are, you know, second round or first round draft picks. And because with those, with especially first round, that's guaranteed money.
Right.
Yeah, I really don't even know what they're thinking, considering the fact no one's watching the NFL anymore anyway.
Yeah, right? That's true.
And really, those that are, as you said, on the line are not going to miss those bowl games anyway. It's the ones that their place is set. They know about where they're going to go, first round, second round. Those that's got something to prove, I think, will still be there trying to prove it.
Right. But for your stars, they're not going to play.
Like Kerryon Johnson, in my opinion, he knew he was going pro before he announced it.
Sure he did.
So why did he play in the bowl game with his injuries?
Exactly. So, you know, I don't blame any of those kids for not playing in those bowl games, you know, when they've got a career ahead of them, whether they even have a career. If they can just be a first round draft pick and sign and get that guaranteed money, that's reason enough not to play in the bowl games. Let me say this. Or let me ask you a question, Jason. With Auburn losing to Central Florida, well, give me your thoughts on Central Florida and their AD or their president declaring themselves as national champions, going to have a parade or whatever, since they beat Auburn, and Auburn beat both Georgia and Alabama. That makes UCF national champions.
First of all, if Central Florida played a normal Power 5 schedule, I really think they would be 8-4 at the end of regular season.
Yeah.
9-3 at very best.
Oh, I agree.
And so this discussion wouldn't be happening. They are no more the national champions than Auburn is the national champion.
That's right. And in defense of Auburn, what in heaven's name did Auburn have to play for?
Right.
Nothing. Okay? Look at Auburn and what they did right down here at the end of the season, the last 3 weeks. They beat Georgia. They turn around and they beat Alabama. They get into the SEC championship game, and yes, they lost that game. Georgia was ready. Georgia had their stinger out. They had a little different.
And Auburn was a team that had just beat Georgia and Alabama was injured.
That's right. And you can't play as we've said all season long. If you can get your kids to play 3 or 4 times at their peak performance, you're doing good. And Auburn played at their peak performance against Georgia the first time and Alabama the second time, and then it caught up with them. Injuries, whatever else. And, we can all say, well, Alabama's been injured all year, and that's true, and they have. But you got to get – what incentive did Auburn have to go play in the Peach Bowl when they were one win away from being in the playoff? And I'm an Alabama fan, Jason, but if we turn the clock back a few years ago, let's remember what Utah did to Alabama, and let's remember what Oklahoma did to them and in the Sugar. They
I'm
beat
not asking,
their brains out.
I'm not asking you this, but I'm asking this and everybody knows the answer, but for a couple of other Alabama fans, I know, who was the coach when Alabama lost those games?
Well, it was Nick Saban.
Okay. Even Nick Saban has at times, he's not going to get his ball team up to play. Gus is...
Absolutely not. You're right.
Correctly or incorrectly catching heck. And I know it's another word. Yeah. Over that loss, which, like you said, means nothing.
Nope.
Gus is still the same coach. I don't know if that's good or bad, but he's still the same coach as he was before that game. Means nothing. And one other thing, and again, I'm not putting this at you, Ronnie. This is for a couple of other Alabama fans that, for lack of better terms, runs their mouth all the time. Let me just say this. When Auburn beat Alabama, they disappeared. You didn't hear anything from them, nothing. They went in a cave.
Man, you just angered like 600 listeners. I just heard them all punching the next radio station button. I ain't going to hear no more of this, click.
As Alabama was placed in the playoffs, they were back at it again.
Yeah. Starting with Nick Saban, as I recall.
Hey, Jay, honestly, I have got something on my headphones. If you'll check these out in the break. I can't hear you, and I'm having to wear one on top of my head.
Okay.
Any Alabama fan that claims 15 national championships has no room to say anything about Central Florida. Because 1941, and I know that's way back there, 1941, Alabama claims that national championship, even though they lost 2 games, finished 3rd in the SEC, and was ranked 20th in the AP poll.
I wonder what the history – I don't even know the history behind
that. I read that to make sure I was right. I had a year. I thought it was 1936. But thank you.
Yeah.
What had happened is Alabama was – there were 20-something different polls. Alabama was ranked number one by one mathematical poll. and for some reason, you tell me Alabama claims that national championship.
Okay, because they were ranked one in one poll.
One poll, okay, out of 20-something, and finished third in the SEC.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
So don't, I mean, Alabama fans that want to claim that one can't say anything about Central Florida claiming this. Although there is a playoff system now.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I know Central Florida, that was an exciting win for them, and it should be. If you're a Central Florida fan, I'd be excited too. They had a phenomenal, fantastic year. All I'm saying is, who had the most to play for?
Oh,
Central,
yeah,
Florida or Auburn? There is no, listen, that the defeating Auburn was Central Florida's Super Bowl.
No doubt
that's
about
it. That's just the way it is. And you know, Auburn, look, Auburn's offensive line, they are all seniors. Every single one of them are seniors. Tell me how interested they were going out there and playing against Central Florida.
No,
it's just,
and you could see it from the time
from the
game
absolutely
kicked off. I mean,
you knew what was happening.
Stidham throws two interceptions directly to,
yeah,
Central Florida.
Yeah.
And then for anybody that don't know, Mr. Kerryon, KJ,
yep,
has decided to enter the draft and will not be back at Auburn next year.
Kerryon is gone.
Petway. Already gone, but he is really, yeah, gone now.
He is gone. One of their defensive.
You didn't know Petway had been.
No, I didn't know it.
Departed from the team.
No, I did not know that.
I didn't either.
I did not know that. And then one of their defensive backs I know of, I can't think of his name right now, he's gone.
Yeah.
Their entire front, their entire offensive line is gone because they are seniors. There's a lot of work to be done there for next year.
No.
You know, I wonder what Jared Stidham is thinking right now.
No.
Everybody in front of me is going to be new. My two tailbacks are gone.
I think he was new not too long ago.
Yeah, that's right.
I think he was in good shape until Kerryon went pro, and then when he went, things turned south,
yeah,
in a hurry.
They'll
miss those linemen, but we know Auburn, Alabama, the SEC
you would
team,
think
they're going to have some.
They've got people
linemen
ready to move in and play offensive line.
Just like Alabama's always.
That's
gonna,
right.
And Auburn pretty much always going to have a decent running back.
I agree. Now, who do they have coming back?
Cal Martin, the only running back with any time, and he didn't have much.
Yeah.
He is too small to do the work that Kerryon Johnson done this year.
So, big, huge question mark.
Oh yeah,
for Auburn at tailback, running back. As I told you, I don't know the kid's name, but they are signing the running back, tailback from Austin High School in Decatur, and he is the real deal. Don't let anybody kid you that he's not, because he is.
I'm gonna look him up.
He's probably going to have to play out of necessity. However, come on, let's be real. 6A high school football moving into possibly being a starter or backup at worst as a true freshman is that's a lot to ask.
No, yeah, it'll be a different ball game. Very few will make that jump without big problems.
And I'm going to throw one at you, and you're going to laugh at me over this one. But do you think there's any chance whatsoever now with the people that have left Auburn and are graduating, does Jared Stidham stay?
That's funny you said that, because right as you said that, I looked down at the Auburn 247 site, or 24-7, whichever you want to call it, 247. Anyway, it says, who steps up with four players headed to the NFL? Will quarterback Jared Stidham leave Auburn? I don't think he will. I just don't see it. He's not ready for pro. I don't think he would even be drafted right now.
You don't think so?
If he did, it would be late. I think another year, and he could be a high draft choice. But
let me ask y'all this: two questions, actually. So we've been salivating and drooling over the possibility of Georgia actually meeting Alabama for what, a month or longer. They were like long shots back before all the playoffs, and we're like,
Could it happen? Yeah, it's a long shot, but, you know, and now here we are. And, I mean, how many of Nick Saban's former staff are going to wind up coming back to play him in ball?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, his tree has many branches on it. You know, as long as he's been in college football, just right here in the SEC.
It's kind of like, hey, guys, our next opponent, he's got my playbook, so we have to write a new playbook in a week.
Yeah. So,
hey, Jay, is it true that you were going to furnish Ronnie and myself a ticket to the national championship game?
We're going to be in the booth with Trump.
That must be the other Jay Fuller you were talking to.
Get this, and we're going to talk to Chris about this, but this
I've seen
game
the tickets, and
is
it blew
going
my
to
mind.
Break all, it's going to, it ain't going to break. It's going to shatter the previous records for the most expensive collegiate ticket in history. The median price. You ready for this? Have you heard
it? You told me what the price just to get in the door.
Yeah, just to get in the door now is about $2,200. The median price
for a seat,
just the average run-of-the-mill ticket, if you averaged all the tickets up that's being sold on StubHub, what do you think the price would be?
Well, if it's $2,200 to get in, then I'm going to say, maybe I'm wrong, I'm going to add $3,000 for a seat.
$5,500.
Good.
The median.
Price. The average price. The highest ticket on StubHub right now is $25,000. Don't mean anybody's going to buy it, but.
What's the cheapest you can get in for? A seat. Do you know?
About $2,000. And that's putting you in the corner, upper deck.
Hey, man, you can get you a quick hot dog and a Coke for about $6,000, too. Come right on in here.
Oh, when we come back, I'll tell you why that's not that bad of a deal, though, when you look at the money I spent staying in a hotel and flying to California.
So. Oh, man.
4:16, we're about 4 minutes away from Chris Andrews. We're going to take a break, be right back, and he'll join us from Las Vegas, Nevada. Stay with us, Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net. You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit.
Plus, Kaltman SportsFit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Kaltman SportsFit is a proud provider of silver sneakers and SilverFit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Kaltman SportsFit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit KaltmanSportsFit.com.
All right, 4:19 on a blistery cold Thursday afternoon.
Right.
Man, it is cold out there, I'm telling you.
But yes, it is.
I don't know about our main man, Chris Andrews. Chris, are you freezing or are you burning up? Where in the world are you today?
He's not on with us yet.
Well, that answers that
but
question.
But, you know, he might be ringing in right now. We'll find out.
Answers that question,
doesn't
it?
Am I imagining things?
He said he called him. He didn't answer.
I thought he then said he had him.
No.
Okay. He does have him now.
My understanding. We shall see.
Oh, what I was saying before we went to the break, Ronnie, about why that's not that bad a deal.
He's ready when you are.
Okay. Chris.
Go ahead and finish your thought.
Oh, why that ticket price at $2,000, $2,500 is not that bad a deal. If you're having to go to the Rose Bowl, you're going to spend $3,000-$4,000 on a hotel.
Yeah.
$1,500 on a flight round trip. So you can drive to Atlanta, pay $2,000 a ticket,
and get by
and come out money
ahead. Still
get by better.
That makes sense.
Hey, Chris, welcome back to Sports Talk Live. We are freezing here in the deep south, so what is the weather like where you are?
It's about 70 degrees.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I'm cold, too. This is way below normal. We are 70 degrees, though, I got to tell you.
Oh,
Chris,
man.
Chris, you are killing us. We've had 7 degrees, 13 degrees, and I'm just not cut out for this cold weather stuff.
I understand. Believe me, I got used to this Vegas weather pretty quick.
But we do have somebody in here whose head has begun to swell again, so...
Roll Tide, Chris. Roll Tide, baby.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know.
Chris, I'm pulling up my, if you want it, I'm killing time right now. I'm pulling up. Let me borrow Runnies here.
Okay.
See where we are. All right. I knew that's what we were going to talk about for some reason. Hey, Chris, it's down to two teams now. Many people, I don't know what you're hearing out your way, but listening to national talk shows, a lot of people unhappy with the all-SEC championship. Tell us kind of what you're hearing out there, and tell us, do fans have a legitimate complaint, or is it people just tired of the SEC, the old SEC has done run its course with them?
Well, I have to tell you, you know, I've heard a little bit, but really not much. You know, most of the guys I talk to and, you know, from my friends who are in the industry to the customers out there, you know, they're really more looking for a winner rather than getting hung up on whether it's SEC or ACC or Big Ten and all that other stuff. I mean, yeah, a little bit. They're still fans, but they really, you know, they're much more worried about what's the number. What do you make Bama over Georgia? And you give Georgia a chance and, you know, things like that. And, you know, guys were talking a lot about Central Florida beating Auburn. And I hate to rub it in, Jason, but, you know, there are things like that. Like, how good do you think Auburn or how good do you think UCF is and things like that. I hear that a lot more than I hear guys complaining about the SEC. I mean, only a little bit, not much in my world.
Okay. So that probably answers the second part of that question is, do you think this all-SEC championship will bring any kind of change to the playoff system faster than what we had originally thought they might change things?
Well, I think it might. You know, even though, like I said, in my world, you know, the college presidents, they don't listen to guys in my world very often, you know. But I think you're going to get guys like Jim Delaney from the Big Ten, and what's the guy named Thompson, I think, from the Pac-12, I forget his name. But anyway, those guys, you know, that's a lot of money. And if they feel they're being shut out, you know, I think those guys have enough money and power that they could do something. But I still think it's going to take a while, at least 3-4 more years, before we see any serious change. But I do think at some point, particularly those two conferences, I think are going to make some sort of noise to expand it, because they don't want to get cut out of the money more than anything else.
And Chris, you mentioned Central Florida and them beating Auburn, and we know now, you know, they finished the season 13-0. So my second question to you, do you see any reason at all that we need to play the game Monday night, since we've learned Central Florida has already crowned themselves the 2016 national champions? So is there any?
No, I think we should give back all the money to guys that bought tickets and tell Bama just to stay at home.
Okay.
And,
Yeah. Hey, on a serious note.
Why the laugh?
Yeah.
Well, I saw them doing that, and I told you, I'm a Penn State guy, even though most of my friends are Pitt guys. At Pitt, if you walk into their stadium, or, you know, their athletic halls and everything, they take 9 national championships. And I've gone through. They had 1 year they were 4-1 and claimed themselves to be national champions. You know, I know Bama, don't laugh, Ronnie, because I know 1 year Bama was number 20-something in the AP poll and claimed themselves to be national champions. So this national championship crap has gone on for so long.
Yeah.
I'm UCF, I would do the same thing. I would tell them, no, we're national champions.
Yeah.
We beat Auburn, who beat Bama, and, what the hell, I would go for that, too. So, but I would tell you this, if you are the national champion and your coach is going from your school to Nebraska, I'd say you're probably not the national champion.
Yeah.
Hey, and Chris, not that I have looked into that or anything, but that was 1941 Alabama claimed that national championship. They finished 20th in the AP poll, 3rd in the SEC, and lost 2 games and claimed that national championship. So,
You came across that when you was reading, you know, just catching up on World War II stats.
Hey, Chris, on a serious note, now we get a good laugh out of that, but I'm trying to think what I'm saying here. Since Central Florida beat Auburn and everybody's crowning them national championship, let's take a look at it the other way and put Central Florida in the SEC West or even the East. Where do you see their record at the end of the regular season?
Well, I do think they were pretty good. I had them pegged early in the year. I really like Scott Frost. I thought he'd done a good job as an assistant. I really like to try to follow the recruiting, how they rank. And, he did pretty good out of that hotbed of Central Florida. You know, pulling in some pretty good athletes. You know, and I would say, probably to put them in the SEC, probably like 8-4 kind of thing, maybe 7-5, something like that. If we didn't get up for that one game, which they beat Auburn, Jason.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell you that, but they beat them. And Auburn, it's not like, I don't think Auburn, like, took them for granted or didn't show up. I mean, they really, UCF played really well and beat them. But nonetheless, it's so hard to go week in and week out. But, I mean, that's not really a slam. I mean, I would, look at Texas A&M or LSU or, any of those schools. I mean, it's hard to compete each and every single week, in the SEC. And, these two teams that are playing on Monday, I don't know that they'd always be the best teams, but they're certainly way up there and, I don't begrudge them anything, but I don't think that UCF would be as good as either one of them on a week-to-week basis. Although, they beat Auburn. I guess they could beat either one of them on a given day if the situation.
Yeah, anything can happen on a given day.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, I want to kind of throw something at you here, if you would answer it for me. In the semifinal game with Georgia and Oklahoma, then Alabama and Clemson, late before the game and, people, I guess, placing their final bets, who did most of the money come in on for those two games?
Well, it's funny. We had pretty good two-way action, but most of the money was on Georgia. for okay. sure. That was, you know, we needed Oklahoma. That was a pretty big result for us. I thought we had that one, too, I got to tell you. But the Clemson game was pretty interesting. You know, the early money was all on Alabama. But then that last day, there was a lot of Clemson money showed up. So that game, you know, once it kicked off, we actually needed Alabama a little bit. Not much, you know, but we were pretty even on that one. So that game was okay with us, but the first game kind of cost us. You know, most of the money was on Georgia. We needed Oklahoma. Again, not for a fortune, but we did need them a little bit.
Okay. I was just curious about that. And, you know, kind of following, you know, on that topic there, you know, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Alabama is about a 4.5-point favorite against Georgia, you know, for all the marbles. As far as the matchup is the best we can have hoped for, share your thoughts on this game, the championship game, without giving us your winner.
Well, I got to tell you, in the last 24 hours, we have had a flood of Georgia money. So we're down to 3.5, and that's what I see mostly is 3.5. I see a little bit of 4, but the 4.5 is gone. So
okay.
The guy who made me the biggest bet is a guy from Alabama. He bet me on Georgia. So and that we were kind of surprised, you know. But this guy's pretty sharp, I got to tell you. But he bet Georgia, and it's a lot of money lately on Georgia. So I kind of thought the opening number was good at 4.5, but you know, the public seems to think that Georgia just has a little bit more going for him right now.
Hey, Creed, let me ask you a question. You were talking about everything going one direction. Is there any truth at all to the old saying, and most people probably never heard this, but I know you have, that the trend is your friend? Is there any truth at all to that?
Well, I think trend is your friend is pretty good in the stock market. I'm not so sure in sports betting.
Yeah.
You know, I think you got to watch what the trend is. You know, a lot of guys, I really think they're data mining. You know, and they go back and look at stuff, and I see guys that put out all kind of things, and you know, really, you know, maybe it. If you go back and look, it's fine, but it's not predictive towards the future. You know, so there's a couple trends that I do look at, way more in the pros than I do in colleges. But you know, like I said, I don't buy into that trend as your friend. It's in the stock market, it is. You know, you don't want to go against the bull market. When it's, you know, I know I bowed at 25,000 at one point today.
Wow.
I don't think you want to be shorting everything unless you really have a lot of money and can withstand, you know, the market going against you. But I don't like it in sports so much. I think the guys really, they look at it, they're looking at data that has nothing to do with like the next game. They're looking at the past games.
Right. Okay.
Hey, Chris, I'm just going to ask you your personal opinion. As it gets closer to the game, do you think this? Again, this is Chris. Do you think more money is going to come in on Georgia, or will more money come in on Alabama, let's just say the day before or the day of the game?
Well, I got to tell you, Ronnie, ever since Nick Saban's been at Bama, we don't have that much trouble finding Alabama money, you know?
Right.
It shows up. So I think right now the early money came in on Georgia. You know, I respect those guys. They do their homework, and they saw something in it. But come that last day and a half, there'll be plenty of Alabama money. That's one man's humble opinion. I don't think we need to go to any drastic measures to find guys to bet on Bama.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Chris, you know, we're sitting where we are here. We're about 3 hours away from Atlanta. You know, Tuscaloosa is about 3 hours away, and Athens, you know, Athens, Georgia is about an hour and a half away. Tickets are unbelievably expensive. Jason and I talked about this a little bit earlier. Just to get in is about $2,200. And I think Jason said the median average of a ticket is $5,000, and that goes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and the most expensive ticket on StubHub is at $25,000. Is the most expensive ticket going out there right now? Do you think this is going to create an advantage for the University of Georgia because ticket prices are so high, and the fact that Alabama has been there so many times in the last, you know, 6-8 years.
You know, I don't know that I'm the guy to ask. I probably should ask you guys. You know, but Ronnie, I mean, do you have to own your own construction company to be able to afford a ticket to get into the game? That's what I would say.
Exactly.
Let me tell you something, Chris. I own a construction company, and I can't afford those prices.
So, let me ask it another way, Chris. Do you think the majority of the tickets are going to be sold? Are going to be sold to Georgia fans, or are they going to be sold to Alabama fans?
Well, I have to, you know, listen, I know Bama fans may have been there, you know, and I don't think it's old hat. I think that still, every time you come up with it, you know, you still want to win one more. So maybe Georgia has a little advantage just because it's kind of in their backyard. But I think there'll be plenty of Bama money. I mean, plenty of Bama people there. You know, I know, listen, if you could afford to pay Nick Saban what he's making and all those assistant coaches, I got to figure there's at least, you know, a pretty good amount of Alabama fans who are going to cough up the dough to go see them one more time win another national championship. So maybe a slight advance to Georgia, but very, very slight.
Hey, okay. This is a little information, and it won't cost either one of you anything. I'm going to share it for free. When Georgia won the Oklahoma game the other night, StubHub website actually crashed with Georgia fans trying to buy tickets. So I don't know how many it took to crash it, but it did crash when Georgia won. Yeah. So.
Hey, Chris, here's another one of my questions I have. I read this, and I thought, hey, this is pretty interesting to me. My question is, let's say we have moved the championship game out of Atlanta and we have put it at the Rose Bowl or somewhere in Phoenix. Is Alabama still a 3.5-point favorite, or would that be more of a favorite if it were played somewhere else?
You know, if I think of anything, it might be slightly more. But, you know, only because this one is in Atlanta, and like I said, there's going to be a few guys, you know, listen, a Bama fan, even though it's only 3 hours, you still have to go get a hotel and, you know, all that other stuff. So probably a slight advantage to Georgia, but ever so slight. And maybe it might mean, if it was in the Rose Bowl or Phoenix, might mean another 0.5 point for Alabama. But I wouldn't go any further than that. I really think these are two really good teams, pretty equal talent. You know, I know Kirby Smart's a young guy, but he shows all the earmarks of being a successful coach long term. So I think they're going to be good coaching, good programs, good athletes. I think it's just going to be decided on the field more than any of these outside factors. But, you know, again, you get a turnover here or there, you never know what's going to happen. And that's what I think will probably determine the game.
Okay.
Yeah. Kirby Smart, Chris, this one, I'm going to throw this one in there and see what you think. Ronnie and I have talked about we may be looking at the future Nick Saban-type coach if Kirby keeps things going. And I know a lot can happen, and the cupboard was not bare. Mark Richt left plenty of talent at Georgia.
He deserves some credit. He deserves credit.
But what do you think the odds are that Kirby could be a Saban-type coach one day?
Well, you know, listen, I hate saying this, really, because I've been rooting against Saban since he's been there. Not
me too.
Not anything personal, just everybody bets on him every week, and I find myself in that position. But I really think he is one of the all-time greats. You know, if you're talking about the best of all time, he's got to be in the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So it's hard to put a first-year coach in that, or I guess he's second year. But you know, there's a lot of talent all of a sudden in Georgia. I know it's been Florida that's been like the main talent base out of the South for a while, but from what I'm hearing, there's plenty out of Georgia, too. But I think he's going to do really, really well. And, you know, it kind of goes, you know, the pendulum swings back and forth. So right now, the SEC West has more talent, more power. But, you know, you can't count out, you know, Tennessee and Florida, and even, you know, I mean, all those schools are going to eventually, you know, hire the right guy, put their money in their program, and they'll compete. But right now, I think probably Georgia, you know, has a heads up over those other ones for sure. You know, a new coach is coming in. So I think he's got a chance to really establish himself. But I just hate to put him in Nick Saban's category so quickly. You know, there's just a lot of things that can happen. But, you know, he shows, he certainly has the potential of getting there. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's not out of reach for him, but he's got to, you got to perform before I could give you that.
All right. And I'm afraid my Auburn Tigers will be the team that feels the hurt worse because from what I'm
hearing.
You're
talking about recruiting.
Yeah, Kirby has locked down the state of Georgia and Auburn not getting the recruits that they once did out of Georgia. So, hey, Chris, let me ask you about a little group called the NFL who starts their playoffs this weekend. Just give me a quick look at this weekend and then give me your predictions on who you think makes it to the Super Bowl and who do you think will walk away with a title. And please do not tell me the New England Patriots.
I wouldn't dream of setting your day like that. Don't worry. You know, right now, for this weekend, you know, it's probably a little bit more money on Kansas City. And, you know, I kind of agree with that. I think Kansas City, you know, they had their streak this year where they didn't play very well. But even, like, during that streak, they looked like they were just off by, like, a little bit. You know, they were, like, right on the doorstep of turning things around. And right now, I think that you're going to see a real good effort out of Kansas City. So we're getting a lot of money on them, and I hate to say I kind of like them this week. Now, the Ram game, that's really interesting. We're getting money both ways on the Rams. And I got to say, I kind of like the Rams in that one. You know, right now, you know, we talk a lot about coaching. I think that McVay, I mean, he's 31 years old, but he's done a fantastic job. And Wade Phillips on the defensive side, I mean, I just think he's been, you know, he's had not bad success as a head coach. I mean, guys, I think, overlook what his actual record is. But he's been a fantastic defensive coordinator. And right now, I just think the Rams are, you know, playing some really good ball. I just toss out that game that they played last weekend against the 49ers. I mean, they rested almost everybody. So right now, I think the Rams are the right side in that one. Now we get to Sunday, and I got to tell you, I don't have a feel for those games at all. We had some money on Carolina against New Orleans. And, you know, I think if you look at those two teams, you know, they both have, like, a lot of really good things. You know, particularly, well, I'd say New Orleans on offense, probably if Carolina plays up to their full potential, is a little more of a complete team. But I just don't see them always playing up to their potential. Right. They play a good game and then a bad game. And then in the other game, Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville, that's another one. I just, you know, I want to believe in him. I love that defense, but he's still got Blake Bortles. And, you know, I just have trouble, again, laying those kind of points. But they are a pretty darn good team. And, you know, I think that's going to be a real tough game.
Okay, good deal.
Hey, Chris, I got the final question that I'm the most interested in. I know Jason isn't because it just isn't that interesting
to
Jason.
While Chris is here, let's give our prediction, too, so Chris knows what we're predicting.
All right.
That way we won't have traffic backed up on the interstate.
Well, that's true. That's exactly right. So, all right, Chris, give us your prediction for the national championship game and give us a score.
Okay, first of all, I forgot to tell you my Super Bowl winner. I'm going to stick with the Steelers. Wearing my black and gold, so I'll stick with that. I don't want to go on.
Okay.
And they win it and say, well, you sold them out. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I couldn't stand it if you.
Game, I think it's going to be a close defensive game. And I think, but I like Alabama. I thought the opening number was pretty good. I really thought if anything, it was probably, I made it a little too low. I did open it 4.5. But I like Bama in the game. I'm going to go with 27-20 Alabama for a final.
All right.
Nobody's going to believe this. As we were sitting here now, I was coming up with my score, and my score was exactly what Chris said, 27-20.
27-20.
I promise that's true.
You're not just copying Chris, are you?
I am not in this case. I am not.
Okay.
All right. You're better to copy be a knee, Ronnie. Believe me. I'll take my shot.
Oh, boy.
Boy. This one to me could go either way, and since I think it could go either way, I'm going to pick Georgia.
Of course you're going to pick Georgia.
No, I pick Alabama more times
than
not.
You never have.
I did one time. No, seriously, Georgia wins this one in a low-scoring affair, 20-17.
Well, everybody's got 20 for Georgia.
Give me some dogs.
Everybody pick Georgia to score 20. Yeah.
And I didn't even pay any attention to that either. So. Hey, folks, put your money on Georgia having 20 points.
That's right. That's it. If you don't want to pick the winner. Oh, man. Fantastic.
Well, Chris, before we let you go, anything exciting we need to know about? What in the world are you into now? You're starting radio stations and all kind of stuff. So what have we missed over the holidays?
Well, you know, back doing my VSIN thing a couple days a week. You know, whenever... Brent Musburger. Usually I go on with Brent about 3 o'clock, like Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Well, 3 o'clock West Coast time. Then I did a little thing with Gil, and I had been doing it from 7 to 9 in the morning, but we already did like look ahead to the next week's NFL stuff. So I'll probably just do from 8 to 9 on Monday mornings from now on with Gil, at least till the Super Bowl. And, no, that's it. Just running the day-to-day business at the South Point. Last year we got a lot of basketball going on, and hockey's huge now in Las Vegas with the Knights.
Yeah.
Making a lot of noise. And, pretty soon, and I'm hoping to have this by the end of May, we'll have next year's college football up.
Oh, wow.
Season win totals for everybody and games of the year and all that other stuff. So, We never get much rest, although I'm going to take a few weeks off in the summer. But, the business has gotten to the point where, we don't get much rest. We're always working.
Hey, one last thing I got to ask you. What is the feeling at Las Vegas knowing a professional football team is about to roll into town?
It's always kind of been a Raiders town, probably since they were in L.A., like 20 some years ago.
Yeah.
We still get a lot of guys who just kind of attached themselves to the Raiders all those years ago. And, it's not like I'm talking too much out of school, but let's just say Al Davis had a few Las Vegas connections during his lifetime. And I think that a lot of people remember that. And actually, listen, Vegas is a town different than anywhere else in the country. They appreciate that. Like me, when people ask me how'd you get to Vegas, and the first thing I tell them, well, my uncle got indicted for bookmaking in 1970, and some parts of the country that's a black mark, but in Las Vegas, it's that's cool.
Oh yeah.
So he beat the indictment, and he beat the indictment, and we all wound up in Vegas. So that's the way this town is. But I think there's a lot of affection for the Raiders. And, we're seeing a little bit right now with the hockey teams. The Knights have an amazing home record. And what a lot of people think is these teams come into Las Vegas, and the night before the game, they're off the strip clubs and the casinos and doing all that other stuff that that's going to help you win a game the next day.
That's a good thought.
Teams, they're going to be doing the same thing. There's no reason to think they won't unless, you get a coach really going to keep a control on those guys, and I don't know if they'll be able to. Right now we're pretty excited about it, but as a bookmaker, you'll be seeing me jacking up those prices on the Raiders. I can tell you right now, because they're already so well. They bet a lot last year. They didn't do so great betting on them this year, but as soon as they start winning again, we'll see plenty of money on them. No doubt about it.
Oh man! Hey Chris, I'm gonna throw one more at you real quick. UCLA fired Mora and they hired Chip Kelly. What is the feelings out that way that you're hearing about Chip Kelly being at UCLA?
Well, I think Chip Kelly's gonna do real well. He got some guys to go up to Oregon. I don't know if you guys have ever been in. I know Phil Knight put a lot of money into the whole Oregon program, and the facilities are fantastic, but it's still Oregon, and it's not Westwood, California. And I think Chip Kelly's really going to recruit well. And listen, I know he had his failings in the pros. I don't think he got a fair shot, to be honest with you.
Right.
And I think to come back to college, I think he's going to be great, and I think that program has been kind of a sleeping giant ever since Terry Donahue left, like, I guess about 20 years ago. I mean, it seemed like they were in the Rose Bowl almost every year under Donahue, and I think they'll be back there again. I think he'll get the talent, and they have money, and if you've ever been to Westwood, it's a, you know, once a guy sees all those pretty girls running around, I think there'll be plenty of guys that show up at UCLA.
I got you.
Hey, Chris, have a great weekend, and, man, try not to get too uncomfortable in that 70-degree weather. So.
I think I might go swimming a little later, but you know, just cool off a little bit. I'll be thinking of you guys. Don't worry.
Yeah, you want to swim here? You got to break the ice first.
The only use my pool is getting is the freeze protection on it. So,
I've got a Facebook meme that's got a pool frozen solid with a couple of recliner chairs and a couple of, you know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I would not climb out there and get on it.
That's my pool, though. Is it Jason? Jay, that's not mine, is it?
I don't think so.
Chris, have a great weekend, a safe weekend, and a profitable weekend, and hopefully we'll get back with you next week and see who the national champs are.
Sounds great, boys. Sounds great.
Have a great one, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
I want to publicly thank you guys for that Christmas gift. It really was very thoughtful, and like I said, I know I talked to you just about every while. We had some problems this year because of my health. But other than that, it's a labor of love talking to you guys every week, really. I always laugh. Two guys I love, and I've never met either one of you. But, you know, we could change that this year. I hope you both come out.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking to make it. And, Chris, the feelings are definitely mutual.
Absolutely.
We appreciate everything you do to help us. So have a great one, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds great.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. See you, man.
All right.
See you, guys.
Chris Andrews from Las Vegas, Nevada. And sounds like his health is maybe getting better, so
good
things
deal.
Looking up.
Fantastic.
A break on the horizon so Jay can pay some bills.
That's
and
right.
We'll be right back, talk a little more football.
All right.
Sports Talk Live 95.5. We'll be right back.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Blount County authorities believe they found the bodies of a couple who disappeared a few weeks ago. Officials have charged 17-year-old Leo Chavez with murder and robbery after his parents were reported missing and blood was found inside their home in Cleveland. Investigators say they found a truck believed to be connected to the murder in Chattanooga. They haven't provided details on the location of the bodies yet. And the number of people killed in Alabama automobile crashes on state roads and highways over the holidays is at 23 this year. That's down from 31 last year, according to Alabama state troopers. Huntsville Fire Department says half the calls they've gotten in the past 2 days have been for busted pipes. Captain Frank McKenzie says it's never too late to winterize your home.
It's never too late, because if you have pipes that are not, you know, that are exposed but it hasn't frozen, you can go ahead and protect those now, and that way, you know, the next few days you won't have those busted pipes.
AAA reports average price per gallon of gas in our state at $2.21. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Wind chills will be dangerous through early Thursday morning across most of Alabama. It'll feel like 5 to 10 degrees in South Alabama. Central Alabama, it'll feel somewhere around zero, whereas in North Alabama, very cold wind chills expected, ranging from 5 above zero to 5 below zero. A deadly New Year's Day shooting outside Palladium Event Center in Huntsville. A man dies from his injuries, identified as 21-year-old Adrian Deshaun Porter. Contact police if you have any information in this case. Rich Hobson announces his candidacy for the U.S. House for Alabama's 2nd District. Recently worked as campaign manager for the Roy Moore Senate race. Hobson says he wants to restore traditional values in America and beef up the military. He's seeking to unseat Martha Roby. Hueytown swears in a new police chief. Mickey Willis was named acting chief when former Chief Chuck Hagler retired and officially awarded the title in December. Willis has more than 3 decades of law enforcement experience, 33 years with the city of Hueytown. I'm Angie Norfell. This is ARN.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Ironman. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
News, Region says it'll boost employee pay thanks to the Republican tax cut plan signed by President Trump. Birmingham Bank says the savings will allow the company to increase its minimum wage to $15 an hour. Region says it will also increase funding to its charitable foundation and invest more to improve customer service. More people are moving to Alabama. A study by Atlas Van Line says Alabama ranks ninth among states for inbound moves. Tennessee and North Carolina were the only other southern states in the top 10 to see more inbound than outbound moves in 2017. Brisk business today for package carriers with United Parcel Service, a record-setting week expected for returns. Shoppers increasingly turning to UPS and FedEx to send back unwanted merchandise after Christmas. Consumers expected to take back $90 billion worth of gifts this holiday season. UPS says it expects to process 6 million returns this week, about 1.4 million returns today. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
No longer new, but still all Coleman. We are Coleman's independent radio station. Live 95. WRJMLP, Coleman.
Back with you, and there's no telling what running we are actually looking at a house on the lake somewhere. I'm not going to say where.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lake around.
Yeah.
1.69 million, yeah. And it is
that's a bargain.
Yeah, it is. It's not a bad price.
I guess 3 million.
Yeah. And it is nice. So if you are in the market,
yeah.
Hey, look it up.
That's right. If you don't like that one, try the castle.
And so we
take
are,
your money out there and invest it with Chris Andrews.
Double it,
quadruple it, take it all from you.
In the meantime, we are taking donations for Jason and Runny to be able to move all of our family into that
house. I'm thinking the radio station needs a lake house, so that would be a good start.
Man. I think so.
I do, too.
We broadcast from the crow's nest, maybe.
Yeah, maybe you could rent it out to us seasonally.
Well, I know how that works.
Yeah.
Jay, you buy the castle, and then we could set the station up in this house, and Ronnie and I would be around there real often to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, we just drive a boat. We just get jump a boat.
Jet skis, boats, we're all good. Except for this time of year, I'd probably get in the car and drive.
But I know where that one is.
Man.
I'll get the details on it since you're interested in buying it.
Yeah, I'm not interested in buying it.
I heard you give some background on the guy, and I provided some internet out in that area. Is he over on the very eastern side of the lake, almost?
I don't have any idea where it's at.
Okay.
Is it Bremen, Cold Springs area?
I would have to. The only way I can tell you is if I'm on the lake traveling, okay?
Yep.
If I'm on the lake traveling, I go on past Big Bridge there with the condos at Waterford. Mm. I keep on going.
Yep.
But I come to this place before I get to the dam.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not where I was thinking, though.
Okay.
Because I know where a guy who had a building company in Hartsville retired and got a pretty nice house. And I didn't really, look at the pictures, but his house is probably worth that.
Okay.
Ronnie told me
that's what got me into Smith Lake, installing internet in those people's houses. Right. And I'm going, why am I not out here more?
That's true. But I think that's
house. Three different people own that house now, so I don't know who owns it. But
the one you showed me the pictures?
I was told one person. I was told a doctor here in town owned it. And then I was told somebody in Gardendale owns it.
Yeah.
And now you say somebody in Hartsville owns it. And who knows?
If it's the one
$1.7 million they may all three on him.
Yeah. It looks a lot like the one that we see a lot when we're on the lake. Let me put it that way.
Boy, is it not amazing, though, if you ride down Smith Lake and look at all the new houses and the cost of those houses going up, and then think about how many of those houses are weekend vacation homes.
Absolutely.
Buddy, I can tell you that's changing, though.
A lot of people moving
there
full-time.
Lots of people moving there and working from there full-time.
Yeah. But you're right. A lot of people,
if I bought a house like that, which I wouldn't buy a house like that, but if I did.
I'd never leave it.
Oh, I would have to live there. There's no way it can be a vacation home.
Yeah, I couldn't go anywhere else. Couldn't afford to.
I'm not sure I could pay the light bill on that place.
Oh, no, I couldn't either. But I'll find the details out.
You know somebody that can afford it? Gus Malzahn. Thanks to a seven years,
$49 million. Since Gus has signed that contract, Jason, he's 0-2, and he's 0-4 in January bowl games.
Right.
Congratulations, Auburn administration.
And I've told Ronnie this.
Always next year, Ronnie.
That's right.
And I'll share it with our listeners, and I heard this on another station, sports talk show, and it was a pretty good description of Gus. Now, I'm not anti-Gus, and I'm not on the Gus bus, so much to say, but Gus is like carrying a less-than-pretty girl to the prom, they said. I mean, she's going to get the job done of serving as having you a date, but that's all, you know. So Gus is not ever going to be real bad, apparently.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be real good very often.
He's not going to carry the homecoming queen to the prom.
Gus is not the homecoming queen.
So you're going to buy, in other words, Gus, you're going to buy the cheapest package of photos you can get.
Oh, yeah, if you buy photos. And no need for a corsage or anything like that.
No flowers.
Just take her to Burger King to eat and go on to the prom.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, and now, you know, the hottest thing now, Jason, when we were growing up, I couldn't believe it. My boy showed it to me. You remember the cameras used to take a picture and it would shoot the picture out at the bottom? Yeah. You believe that's back in one of the most popular items there are now?
What?
I know.
God's earth, do they need that for?
I don't know, but that's true. It's one of the most popular, you know, Adam, so I was thinking, you know, you're taking her to the prom, you know, you could use that, have a few photos.
Oh, Kodak moment. Yeah. You press the button, it shoots out, and then you take the picture and you wave it around like that speeds it up.
And then it just kind of comes to life right in front of you. So that is now a popular item again. Now, why we're talking about that old Kodak picture?
Because there's only two football teams left.
That's right.
Play, so. Ronnie, think the powers to be at Auburn panicked in giving Gus this contract, or were they against the wall and had to do it? What's your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I don't know, Jason, maybe the word.
Because you can make a case for either side.
You can. Am I going to give, this is just me, am I going to give Gus, am I going to offer somebody that kind of contract with a history and, you know, what they have accomplished so far? And it hasn't been bad. Don't get me wrong.
No,
what Gus has done, it just hasn't been great.
Since year one.
It's just been okay. You know, it's been okay. And apparently, Jason, and I don't mean this, you can disagree with me, apparently being okay and being maybe really good one out of every two or three years is good enough for the powers to be at Auburn. That seems to me to be the case that you give Gus.
Say anything else.
You're exactly right. So, you know, I think they're satisfied with, you know, over the long haul of winning, you know, eight and a half games a year.
Okay.
That's good enough.
Do you think they're satisfied with that, or is it more of a case of, we could do a lot worse. We better take her to the prom while we got her, because we could end up with an uglier girl.
I don't think, you know, nobody's going to tell you they're satisfied to win eight and a half games a year, but that's what that contract screams to me.
And, you know, you read my Facebook post back when I made it. and yeah. I was being brutally honest.
And it was brutally honest, and it was true.
Yeah,
yeah.
Auburn isn't Alabama. Now, whether they will be one day, I don't know. I probably never live to see it if they are. Right. But right now, we are still Auburn, who is basically second fiddle to Alabama. And until Nick Saban's gone, they will stay second fiddle unless he gets caught up in some sex scandal
right.
or something.
Right.
But it's going to be that type of ride. So if you're an Auburn fan, get ready for some 9-3s and 8-4s, and every once in a while, pull a 12-0 out of your hat yeah. and lose the national championship. Yeah.
10-4 this year.
Yeah.
You know, I would say this, Jason, would if we were starting the season today and you ask Auburn fans, if you could go 10-4, would you be absolutely satisfied with that? I think every Auburn fan, mm-hmm. I would think most would say yes, 10-4.
No,
you don't?
I wouldn't take 10-4.
You wouldn't take 10-4 as an Auburn fan?
If you give me a 10-4 or play the season out and see where it goes, I would roll the dice and hope for better.
So the majority of Auburn people wouldn't be happy to know
I don't think so. I think you'd need to get to 2 losses.
Well, the other points to evaluate, I mean, who else is available, you know, in the coaching pool to come in and do a better job than Gus?
Right, because
and you're right, Jay.
Everybody who was anybody was being courted by somebody.
That's right.
And, I mean, Auburn defeated all of the teams playing in the national championship. So how many other coaches could have pulled that off?
Right, and Gus does.
It's a new hour. I had to remind everybody of that again.
Gus does have some feats such as that. He is the only coach in the SEC who has beat Nick Saban twice. He may be the only coach in the SEC who's beat Nick Saban now since the big changeover.
We'd have to look and see, but that's possible. But that's what I'm saying. Is 2 out of 5, is that what you said?
You guys have a caller.
Okay.
2 out of 5 against Nick Saban?
It's Nick Saban, yeah.
Welcome. Who we got, Jay? You didn't put the name on the board.
I didn't ask the name.
Okay. Well, whoever we are talking to, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
It's me.
It's Ernest T.
It's Ernest T.
No, it's Peter T. He's a fisherman.
Hey, Rex, what's going on, big boy?
Hey, for my white lily tail.
Thank you, Rex.
I didn't say 8-4, did I?
You said 10-4.
I said 10-4.
All right, number one.
Rex, would you take 10-4 and put it in the bag for next year?
Y'all misheard.
No.
Oh, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either.
I do not like Malzahn, okay? Never have, never will. He has his perks. He also has his 2 games a year where he's going to have a horrible game plan.
Yep. Yeah. I agree with it. So
compare that to Kiffin, he would never run the ball?
So
he would not. Yeah. And so, it just people don't realize. Look at what a great game plan Auburn had against Alabama. Now, keep in mind Alabama was hurt a little bit and it was at home, but the game plan won the game. It was perfect. He exploited some weaknesses. And then you turn around and look, although not a healthy running back in the SEC championship, but there was a game plan to be had against Georgia in that game, and it was not executed whatsoever. He just kept carry on, couldn't carry a bucket of water outside his house, let alone ball against a defense like that.
I agree.
When you got the stable of running backs that Auburn has, when you could rely on them to bust the ball 3, 4, 5 yards at a time with speed, carry on and been on the bench in a heartbeat. He was only a decoy, and the decoy will not work against a good ball team. So, therefore, they lost. And therefore, what are they doing? They're sitting at home for the national championship where they could have been playing for it.
Yeah. Well, Rich, you know, Jason asked me about the question, you know, about Auburn giving Gus this contract, you know, and was it because they're that sold on Gus, or were they worried that all those potential good candidates that they felt that fit in with Auburn were maybe gone? Well, you know,
that was Jay Jacobs' last knife in the back to Auburn University.
Because he's leaving in June.
Because he's gone. He said, I'm going to stick it to you. Let's give Gus a great big old contract he does not deserve. Uh-huh. And there were coaches to be had. There were lots of good coaches. I won't say lots. There were several good coaches to be had. And he would have been down to Arkansas. And all he did was parlay his Arkansas gear. Arkansas was going to pay him more money than I ever paid him one time.
Right.
And why he chose to stay around, I don't know. There must be something else going on in Arkansas we don't know about. But
I was shocked.
I'm telling you, it's all. Auburn fans can just sit back, watch. They'll have a good season. They'll never have a great season. And they got some top-notch recruits coming in. And how he actually got a few of them, I don't know. Because the little Asa Martin kid from Austin, he fills in carry-on's shoes first day on campus.
He will
start as a freshman. Right.
Rex, you may have too. I have seen that kid play. He is the absolute real deal.
He is a beast. What's the good? People say, well, a freshman can't come in the SEC and be the feature back because they usually can't block. Well,
yeah.
Guess what? He can.
He's a big kid.
What is his name again?
Asa Martin.
Asa Martin.
He is a stud.
He played at Austin. Austin played Pinson Valley in the high school playoffs up at Austin. It went into overtime. Pinson Valley ended up winning it. I think it was either 51-50. They won the football game, but he had 400 yards rushing.
Oh my gosh.
In that game. 400.
Hey Rex, let me ask you this before y'all jump in the boat. Have you heard, and I know this is a fact, I just haven't seen him, anything about the quarterback Auburn has recruited, a Cam Newton type, and I'm not saying he's as good as Cam Newton, but that type of quarterback, 6'4", 240, he's been committed to Auburn for a couple of years and signed his letter of intent. Have you heard anything about this guy?
I have, and he is awesome. I'm trying to think of his name. I watched
Saints
tape on him. I ain't seen
him get quiet. Now, I'm not asking a racist question here, but is he a black kid or a white kid?
Yes, he's
He's white?
Actually, they've got two, and I'm trying to think which one they got. They have one of each.
Okay. And the reason I'm asking that,
the kid that's 6'4", the one that's talking about being like Cam, is a white kid.
Oh, okay. Well, I got news for him. No white kid's going to be Cam Newton type.
Oh, no.
I mean,
no,
it's just
not
a fact of life.
Oh, man. Hey, Rex, if you don't mind, I don't want to switch to fishing right now. I'd like, if it's okay, I got a couple more questions. Really, I want to talk about Auburn football a little bit. Okay. Give me your take, your feel on the bowl game with Central Florida. Jason and I talked about it earlier. It wasn't to me, you know. In my opinion, Auburn had absolutely nothing to play for. UCF had everything to play for. So I'm just want to know what your take on that is.
It was another horrible game plan by Gus Malzahn. Period. Auburn had twice the talent on the field at Central Florida.
I agree.
Now, did they make some good plays? Yes. That little quarterback made some great plays.
Yep.
But there was no game. If you watch the game, when the game started, Kerryon Johnson was just like he was in the Georgia game. Very timid, didn't want to test that shoulder out. And then, in the second half, when he run around the left side and the guy hit him, and he slung him off of him. You remember that play?
I do. I remember.
He slung that guy off of him, turned around, and then belted a linebacker. And it's like a light bulb went off in his head, like, hey, my shoulder ain't hurt.
Right, right.
And what'd he do? Took him right down there and scored a touchdown.
Yeah. Yep, I agree.
And then what'd they do after that? They quit feeding him the ball.
Yeah.
I think he run it maybe five times the rest of the game.
Yeah. I know that
that's when he got his mojo back from being hurt, is when he slung that kid off of him.
Yeah.
So the first two quarters, when they run him, he was timid. He was not hitting anybody. He was 3 yards, 4 yards. I think he had one, like, 17, 18-yard run. But it was just another horrible game plan. If you notice, even in the first quarter, they give they give Cam Martin a ball, and he was running like he was going to behead somebody. Yeah. And he was busting 6, 7, 8 yards 3 or 4 times in a row, and then they went away from him.
Yeah.
And they never went back to him. And that's just a horrible, horrible game plan. The offensive line couldn't block. That was a big problem now. Those crashing ends and tackles were extremely hard to corral. Yeah. The one-handed kid, you talk about going to be an NFL superstar. He's a story.
Yeah, I agree. He played as hard as any kid I've ever seen.
But you were right. Auburn had nothing to gain whatsoever. Yeah.
Nothing.
And Central Florida had everything to gain by going undefeated and
claiming
their mythical national championship for doing that and all this kind of crap. But
right.
But yeah, it was just another horrible game plan put together by Gus.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you this, Rex. You know, now that he's turning pro, Petway's gone, Davis is declared for the NFL draft, and Holland, that's 4, plus you're losing every offensive lineman, but like Jason said, you ought to be able to replace those offensive linemen. My question is Auburn, you know, are they in a little bit of a quandary here with Kirby, and Jason will agree with this, and I think you will too, has locked up the state of Georgia. They're getting everybody they want, and I guess Gus may be getting left who Kirby does not want. Is that a bad sign for Auburn in the future?
Well, you say that, but as it stands right now, they're still top 10 in the country in recruiting.
Yeah, I got you. I'm with you there.
But you know, is it gonna get tougher to get some Auburn kids? Sure it will. But you gotta look. Auburn's always went Georgia, Alabama, Florida. You know,
yeah.
And it's hard to recruit in Louisiana, and it's hard to get some of Tennessee kids, but they've always done well in Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. And so they're just going to have to branch out now. Kirby's got it locked up.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's move on. Let me just say this. Surely to goodness you hadn't been in a boat the last couple of days.
Well, Christmas Eve, I hit the fever.
Uh-oh.
And I've been on death's door since.
Oh, you've been sick.
And after Christmas Eve, that following Saturday, we spoke, you know, we all always do a New Year's Day tournament.
Right.
The way the weather was going to be on New Year's Day, we moved it to Saturday the 30th.
Sure.
And I actually went out and fished.
Phew.
And that was not my brightest moment of my entire life.
A little setback, you might say.
Yeah, I was miserable. I could fish about 15 minutes and sit down for 30.
Oh,
but,
goodness.
I think we ended up third place, but had a great day. Had a great day on the lake. But
wow.
That set me back a few more days. So I'm pretty much, except for that Saturday, I've been on my couch.
I got you.
Christmas Eve.
That's a good place to be. Considering how cold,
well,
I mean, maybe there's some guys that's been out there fishing. I don't know, but it wouldn't be me.
Fishing's been good. I mean, I've talked to several of Ben fishing, especially Gunnerville right now. It's awesome.
Okay.
It's a little bit slower, but, and on my plus, on my way home from that Saturday, I hit a deer about 200 yards from my driveway, so the truck kind of been down and out.
Oh, man.
And, so I ain't worried about it. I've been sitting on the couch and working on the tackle and resting up.
I got you. Hey, what would, and Rex, I know you haven't been lately, just guessing about what is the water temp now after this extremely cold
water
weather?
Actually, on the river, it's like 39.
39.
That's cold for river water.
I was going to say, is that certainly colder than normal for this time of year, or is that colder for normal for any time on the river?
That's as cold as I've seen it, I guess.
Wow.
Now, that's just because we're having, teen-degree nights right now. But
what does 39 What does 39 degrees do to the fish?
It actually, it slows them down a little bit, but it hasn't been that bad. I mean, when we fished on the 30th, we caught, I don't know, we probably boated 30 bass.
Oh, good day.
Majority of them keepers. I mean, we had a great day. They're yeah. fighting like crazy.
Wow. Okay. And do you know when you're going to get back out on the water?
Yes, I'm going to be back out probably Saturday.
Okay, okay. And are you taking people out to fish, or are you practicing for other things?
No, we're probably just going to hit the little local tournament Saturday on Smith, and then the following Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I think I got guide trips.
So okay.
Fixing to start picking up.
I got you. Okay. Well, couple more questions, I'll let you go. The question I was going to, the Alabama Bass Trail. Where does that stand right now? When does it start? Is it full, basically?
Yeah, they are full. I'm looking at the dates. I think we start out February 17th on Pit Week.
Okay, I thought it was the month of February.
Yeah, February 17th on Pit Week. That's when the first tournament kicks off. Now, I think in 2 weeks, I think January the 22nd or something, around that date, registration will open for the Alabama Bass Trail Open event. We're going to have an open event, which is going to be a little higher entry fee. I think it's about $300 per team.
Okay.
It's going to be on Smith Lake in October of next year. So,
okay.
That'll fill up quick. That's going to be a big, big payday.
Gotcha. Okay. But the North and the South divisions are full if you're not in and you're just out of luck.
If you're not in, you're not getting in.
I got you. Okay. All right. Well, good deal. All right, Rick. So we got one more question. The most important thing before we let you go, give us your pick for the national championship. Who's going to win, why they're going to win, and what's the score?
I actually think Georgia will pull it out. Not because I'm a Bama hater.
Yeah.
I just think their running game, and their running game is excellent.
Yeah.
And their defense, Alabama's got a weak spot. If Alabama fans can't see it, your quarterback ain't a college quarterback. He doesn't see the field. Now his stats are amazing.
Yeah,
I'll give him his view.
Yeah,
he would be my first pick in the backyard pickup game. But I think Georgia's going to have a ticket for him.
Yeah, he's 25. He's 25-2.
I know.
But I know what you're. Hey, I know what you're saying.
If you know football and you watch football. He leaves so many points on the field, yeah. It is unreal. His defense wins the ball games for him.
I agree.
They put him in good field position. They put him in good situations, and the boy can run. He would be my Wildcat guy or my
halfback.
He wouldn't be my quarterback.
He'd make a great safety too.
And y'all got one sitting on the bench that scares me to death.
Well, we were talking today, Rick, as a matter of fact.
I don't know that he'll ever lose a ball game.
Yeah, that everybody around the table felt like he would come next year. He will be the starting quarterback.
Hell, I don't see it. I don't see Saban doing that.
Well, he might, you know.
I really don't. I hope he don't.
If he don't, I don't think he stays in Tuscaloosa.
Well,
I wouldn't.
And that's the only reason I say Georgia gonna win that ball game probably 27-24.
All right.
I'll go
27-24.
27-24. Georgia.
Now you reckon, yep. Me and you're thinking alike. I got Georgia by three also.
Yeah.
So.
Jason's got them 20-17.
Yeah, 29. Yeah. And Alabama defense going to score a touchdown? Probably.
They're going to need it.
They had so many lucky plays the other night. I mean, but now they were in a position to make them. Don't get me wrong. But it was that ball game the other night should have been 42-0.
Oh, no, I agree. It should have been a lot more than 24-6. I'll certainly give you that.
I mean, Clemson was deer in the headlights. That poor old quarterback didn't know what to do whatsoever.
No, and I, you know, and here, and then I'll let you go. And I think everybody pretty much agrees. The last several years, if you're playing against Alabama, you've got to have either an elite quarterback. Or you got to have a quarterback who has a career that night. You're not going to beat them with an average quarterback. It's just not going
to
happen.
And you better be able to run the ball.
Absolutely.
And run the ball well.
Poor old Deshaun on the sidelines.
That takes a quarterback with a passing game to run the ball.
That's right. You know, Deshaun Watson threw it, I think, about 56 times last year.
Right.
Yeah, and
y'all think he was on the sidelines just to cuss him Saturday?
Nah, no.
Monday, whenever it was.
So, but they don't have that type of quarterback. So, but I agree with you.
Plus, they had their little freshman running back was hurt.
Yeah,
that did so good through the year. Right. So, so they lost their running game. Once their running game was gone, I knew they were.
Yeah, if you don't have a running game against them, you're toast.
At least a semblance of a running game.
Yeah, I agree. So, all right, Rex. Hey, man, appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. Hey, man, I hope you get to feeling better real soon, and be careful out on the water, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, y'all have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Rex. That's our fishing buddy, Mr. Rex Chambers, there, a little under the weather. So it's 5:24. We're going to take a break.
I don't know. He might feel better if he didn't go out on the water when it's like 20 degrees.
Well, that may have a lot to do with it. 5:24. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio. Broadcasting from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's independent radio, WRJMLP, Coleman.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball course. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Five 28. 32 minutes away from 6 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, we'll be giving it up for the night.
That's exactly right. Getting closer. Getting closer to time for some supper.
What are you spying over there, Ronnie? Hey, I know Jason, you've got something on that laptop.
Hey, you know the bottom line, Jason, any college football, any team, it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, peewee, middle school, high school, college, pro, it all comes down to who's got the better players. In most cases, right. Whoever's got the better players are going to win the ball game.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. And in college, certainly they're recruiting. So it goes down to recruits. I was looking through how the recruiting stands right now. Of course, you know, the final signing is later. It's on in February. But, you know, they had that early signing
and
period.
Boy, the coaches.
Boy, they hate that, don't they? I think that's going to.
There's a lot of pressure to get rid of that.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So, quickly, instead, I'm going to go through the top 25 recruits or recruiting based on this site here, which is 247.
Hey, let me give my old time saying before you start this. Nick Saban is a great coach, the best coach, in my opinion, in college football.
Yeah.
But even Nick Saban, as the old saying goes, can't win the Kentucky Derby with a
mule. That's right.
You've got to have a racehorse.
You better believe it. You are exactly right. If you know, if that were the case, he would have won in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He didn't have a better player.
He is dang good at getting racehorses.
Yes, he is. He gets exactly what he wants.
Yep.
And he gets everything he needs and probably most of everything he wants.
Did you see him after the game the other night styling with a cap on?
Hat on backwards. Yeah,
I never thought I would see Nick Saban wearing a cap backward.
I think he has, to a little degree, he has mellowed some over the years. You know, I mean, he's not as irate on the sidelines as he used to be. I don't know if that's green kids.
He
did tear up old DeBall or Dable, whatever. He tore him up.
And I know I got you off subject here, but did you see Kiffin talking about getting chewed out like that?
Yes.
Oh, hilarious.
Kiffin got it regular.
Oh, yeah. I think he enjoyed it, though.
I think
it just brought more attention to him.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. These are how the rankings stand currently, Jason. At number 25 is Baylor that we don't care anything about. 24 is North Carolina State. 23, Mississippi State. 22, Texas A&M. 21, Tennessee. At 20th is TCU. 19 is Maryland. 18, Virginia Tech. 17, South Carolina. 16, Florida. 15, Oregon. 14, Michigan. 13, LSU. 12, Washington. 11, USC. So here are your top 10. Here's the top 10 in recruiting this year, Jason. And what I want you or what I want, you know, the people listening to hear is how many of these teams in the top 10 are the teams that are either in the playoff, were in the playoff, or were playing New Year's Day bowls, okay? So all of these are going to be very familiar to you. At number 10, as it stands right now, this will change, of course. Number 10 is the Auburn Tigers. Number 9, Oklahoma. Number 8, Clemson. Number 7, Notre Dame. Number 6, Miami. Number 5 was Alabama. And that's, you know, that's kind of, that's an eye-opener there because normally, you know, they're not at 5, but that's nothing. It's still early.
But they're not at number 5. A lot of times they are at 12 or 15.
They were at 12 before the early signing.
Alabama will be at 1 or 2.
They'll be up close. They'll
be up close. Last day.
Number 4 is Penn State. Number 3 is Texas. Number 2 is Ohio State. And number 1 right now, who is honestly is dominating the recruiting for this year, is the Georgia Bulldogs. And I'm certainly not going to go through all of that, but they have a total of 23 commitments right now at Georgia. They have six five-star signees or commitments. They've got 12 four-stars, 5 3-stars. So Georgia, Kirby Smart, his staff, they are knocking it out of the park right now in terms of recruiting. I don't think it's, you know, any strange thing that the number one seeded team in recruiting is also in the national championship game, and the team sitting at number five in recruiting is also in the national championship game.
Right.
Now, this certainly this is not the end all, and when it's all said and done, these are going to change. You know, places will, but
Ronnie, I'm just looking at this top 10, and just this year, you could have at one point close to the end of the season made a case for any one of these teams to have been in the playoffs.
Any other than Texas?
Yeah, Texas. I didn't see them.
Other than Texas, but now if Texas is sitting there at three right now, about two more years, see where Texas is.
Yeah. You got Penn State, Notre Dame, Clemson, Oklahoma, Auburn. Yeah, Ohio State.
It's the big names. You know, that's what I mentioned to Rex about earlier about, Auburn and the situation with Gus and Kirby is dominating recruiting now, and he's going to, he's locked up. And Jason even said that. I think he's got the state of Georgia locked up. I think that's something that Auburn fans, Auburn people need to look at in the next year or so is where does Auburn come in recruiting, because they have a tremendous amount of their players from the state of Georgia. I mean, you can throw a ball and you're in Georgia.
It may be more Georgia players than players from the state of Alabama.
I think it is. At worst, let's say it's 50-50. And I think maybe they're going to have to do what Rex said was they're going to have to extend their search area, broaden their area of trying to recruit, because I don't know that they're going to get those kids that they truly want out of Georgia.
And boy, Georgia, Auburn was a good sell for kids in Georgia because they were reasonably close to home.
That's
They wasn't at home.
Exactly.
And a lot of those kids, they want to get away, but they want to be close enough to go see mama every once in a while.
I agree. So I think that's something that Auburn fans, people say, well, why are you not mentioning Alabama? Alabama, they don't have a tremendous amount of players from the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn has
Alabama
a lot more.
Now is scattered out all over
the
nation.
They certainly are. Like you said, they're everywhere.
Hey, and one positive for all the Gus haters.
Yeah.
Look at here. Auburn at number 10, and I would say they will probably end up at 8, 7, somewhere in there. Gus, every year, has been in the top 10 recruiting, most of the time 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Gus has out-recruited every coach I remember being at Auburn. Now, what he does with them when he gets them, I don't know.
Yeah. And I agree, and that's a very fair point.
Look at the classes Tommy Tuberville had.
That's
see
right.
How many times he was in the top
10. That's right. But I think folks have, if they care anything about it, and they want to watch it, I think it's worth noting to check where Auburn falls in the next couple, 3 years in recruiting.
Right.
If their recruiting drops, if they drop from a 10 to a 15 or a 10 to a 20 or whatever, I think, that's just me, I think it's going to be due to Kirby Smart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then Alabama and Auburn both have to deal with now Dan Mullen is in the state of Florida. What does that do to recruiting? And Alabama's got a lot of kids from the state of Florida.
I am going way out on a limb here, and I'm predicting that Dan Mullen is going to be the next Florida disappointment. He's going to be the biggest flop. He's been built up to be that has hit the state
is that right?
in a long time. And I think he'll be reasonably successful.
Will he be more successful than Gus?
No.
You don't think
no.
so? You don't think within 5 years he wins a national title?
No. I think he stays there the rest of his life and won't win a title.
So you're not really sold
no,
on.
I'm not sold on. I don't think Dan Mullen is.
I think he did a fantastic job at Mississippi State. I think he did a great job there.
He done, yeah.
I don't think there's
right.
many people who's going to win more games than what he did.
He done all right. He didn't blow me out of the water with what he done.
Yeah.
No, he didn't do a lot better than Jackie Sherrill done. So.
Yeah, well, we all know how Jackie Sherrill did it, too. I think Mullen pretty much tried to do it the right way.
Oh.
Oh, but.
Hey, You know. A Mississippi disappointment, though. Hugh Freeze was about to turn Ole Miss to another page.
Yeah.
And then
he did. He turned him to another
page. He used his cell phone one too many times.
Yeah. Boy, that is a program in complete shambles.
Yeah.
I can't imagine them winning more than, you know, the games that they, you know, the Mercers and the those type of games. You know,
the Water Boys are even leaving Ole Miss.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't see them winning a SEC game.
Oh God, I hope it's not Auburn. If they went and won, that'd be all we need.
I don't see it. Hey, and speaking of not winning a game, Tennessee also was 0-for. They were 0-for in the SEC. Does Tennessee, do they win a conference game next year in Jeremy Pruitt?
Yeah, but I don't think he's the answer at Tennessee either. Boy, he got a lot of praise at Tennessee. Why? Mm-hmm. I haven't figured out yet. But
he's the choir boy right now.
Yeah, I'm hearing national talk guys saying he is the answer.
Yeah.
He's going to put Tennessee.
They hit it out of the park.
What? For Tennessee? And you get Jeremy Pruitt?
Yeah.
That would be like Alabama.
You get a coordinator. You don't get a head.
Right. That would be like.
And the thing about this, how many people turned them down? Now, I know it was a mess.
I turned them down.
Yeah. I mean, it was a mess. And the guy that was, and we've talked about that situation. There's no need of, you know, rehashing all that. But, you know, that has a lot, that has a distinct odor about it, that whole situation at Tennessee. You know, it doesn't pass the smell
Philip
test.
Fulmer is a snake, just as he was a snake when he was the head coach at Tennessee.
You can ask Johnny Majors about that. See how that goes for you.
Speaking of snakes, let's bring this little topic up, and we talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
Is Kirby Smart the next snake in the SEC?
Oh.
And the reason I say that, I've already told Ronnie, this is pretty... pretty, what I say, reliable, semi-reliable.
Yeah. Some validity to it.
Yeah, some big names talking about this. There is not only no love lost between Saban and Kirby Smart, there is pretty much hatred there now because
before. You think that's true?
Yeah, I think it is.
I think they used to be very tight.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
And
I was shocked when I heard they were no love lost between them now. But after hearing the rest of it, I don't blame Nick Saban. That as Kirby Smart had taken the Georgia job, Alabama has a board up at some place in their office, training room, whatever, and there is a list of recruits. Each recruit's name is a rating and some kind of symbol that says whether they think he will be able to play and contribute his first year. Today's technology with cell phones, Kirby Smart was pretty smart and snaps a picture of the board and then uses that to send to players who, beside their name, didn't have the play the first year. And probably wound up with some of those at Georgia. So
now,
and Nick Saban apparently found out about it and has no use for Kirby Smart.
And I would say, and I put these two letters in very big, bold caps. If that were true, Saban has every right.
Oh yeah,
to be furious.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's true, you know. But like you said, if it is, it don't really shock me. With the cutthroat world that we live in all together and the millions of dollars that's involved in college football. And I like to think that I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But if I'm a multi-million-dollar-a-year coach and can get advantage on Nick Saban, who knows?
Well, yeah, I guess you can do what you kind of feel like you have to do.
And there's no telling how he really felt about Nick Saban after taking chew-ins for years from Nick Saban.
Maybe so. Hey, Jason, you know, you were talking we were both talking a little bit earlier about Alabama and their recruiting, and, you know, they just seem to recruit nationwide, not just any one particular state. I'm not going to call any names out, Jason, but the kids that they have kind of committed now, real quickly, I'm just going to run through some of this and show how broad they do recruit, and they're not the only ones. Everybody does this, but They've got one kid that they're looking to sign from Baltimore, Maryland, Bradenton, Florida, Memphis, Tennessee. Got one from Connecticut. Got a kid here from Indiana, from Utah. There's one from Mobile. There's another one from Hollywood. There's one from Florida. Here's one from California. Here's one from Pennsylvania. One from Mississippi. Louisiana. Another one from Florida. And one from South Carolina. So of all this list here that I went through, there was only about two or three that were from the state of Alabama at this point. So they're recruiting, you know, as far up into the Northeast as you can get. I think Micah Fitzpatrick is from New Jersey. So that,
yeah, if you are a high school football player in the state of Alabama, you better be pretty damn good.
You got that right. You better be really, really good, or you might want to consider going somewhere else if you want to play. Auburn, quickly, we'll look through those. And I think the thing to think about here with Florida, with Auburn, is let's see how many are from Georgia and from Florida. And there was probably five or six that was going to Alabama from Florida. Does that trend continue with Dan Mullen, at the University of Florida? We'll have to wait and see.
Hey, I think that Dan Mullen will only get the leftovers from State.
You think
Alabama.
So? Okay.
He'll snag one every now and then, but I'm just not a Dan Mullen believer.
Okay. All right, here's where these kids are from that's going to Auburn. Again, I'm not giving you kids' names. Here's Jacksonville, Florida, Atlanta, Cottonwood, Alabama, which is it's in Alabama's back door. Matter of fact, this kid goes to Paul W. Bryant School. So his name is Seth Williams. Jason may know about him. He's a four-star wide receiver. He's going to Auburn. Here's a kid from Valdosta, Georgia. Asa Martin is the kid from Decatur. That's going to Auburn. He's a four-star running back, and I think he's going to be a really good back for them. Here's another kid from Thompson, Georgia. Another one from Florida. Another one from Georgia. The next one is from Florida. Another Florida. Georgia. Mississippi. So, and Alabama.
Auburn's still getting a good number from Georgia, but I wonder if they're getting the quality from Georgia that they.
That's right. That's so. Exactly right. You know, the majority of this list right here is Georgia, Florida. My only question is,
where are the players from Alabama going? Apparently, they're not going to Auburn or Alabama.
Apparently not. I think the story is on down the road. Are they still getting those Georgia, Florida, and if? Are they getting the ones they want, or are they getting the ones that Florida or Florida State doesn't want? Right. We'll have to see.
We'll take one more break. We'll be back in just a few minutes, and we'll finish it up. And if you want to give us a call and give us a prediction, we're here. Let me give that number real quick, 737-9505. And stay with us. We'll be right back.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. The cold weather blamed for increase in calls to fire departments in Tuscaloosa. Cracked pipes are causing water to flow out of sprinkler systems. Fire Marshal Gene Holcomb.
We had it some in commercial buildings, but mostly in apartment complexes. Those are our greatest concerns because we have residents living there.
His advice, get sprinkler systems checked every year. Alabama Supreme Court Justice Glenn Murdoch will resign. The Republican says it's been the great honor of his career to serve the people of Alabama. But Murdoch says the time has come to explore other ways he might be of service to the state. Political observers say Murdoch could be getting ready to jump into the race for governor. Atlanta police say they're working with the U.S. Secret Service for President Trump's trip to the national championship game. There's no official word on the visit, but the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports Trump will be accompanied by First Lady Melania and Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue, Georgia native, to the game featuring the Crimson Tide and the Georgia Bulldogs. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Three house fires in a 24-hour period in Montgomery. Firefighters say property in all three were either destroyed or heavily damaged. Fortunately, no one was hurt. A woman dies in a crash in Cullman County. State troopers say Kendra Johnson was killed after a truck hit a guardrail and flipped. A passenger identified as 21-year-old Joshua Robert Mintzer was injured and airlifted to the hospital. Around 20,000 people a year show up at hospitals with carbon monoxide poisoning. Officials say you need a detector in your home to tell you if levels are too high.
It's an odorless, colorless gas. You're not really going to know that it's in your house unless you have a carbon monoxide detector or you start exhibiting some of those symptoms.
Those symptoms are similar to the flu. You can get a carbon monoxide detector at any home improvement store, and if you already have one, check the test button on the device to make sure your batteries are okay. Birmingham Mayor Randall Woodfin wants to see if the Old Banks Middle School property can be revamped rather than demolished. City accepting plans for development through January 18th. I'm Angie Norfell. This is ARN.
Obesity is a serious health concern for children and adolescents, with an estimated 18% of people aged 10 through 17 in Alabama being obese. This is State Health Officer Dr. Don Williamson. Obese children and adolescents are at risk for health problems both during their youth and as adults. They're more likely to have risk factors associated with cardiovascular disease, such as high blood pressure, elevated cholesterol, and type 2 diabetes. Parental involvement is the key to getting this epidemic under control, and a few simple changes can have a big impact. One great tip is to fill half of your plate with fruits and vegetables each time you eat. Parents should also make sure children are physically active. Experts suggest at least 60 minutes of activity throughout a day for children and teenagers, so encourage your children to take a break from TV and video games and replace it with physical activity. To learn more tips to help keep your children healthy, visit our website at adph.org.
This message brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health and this station.
In Money News, Alabama prison officials meeting with state lawmakers to discuss how much money is needed to improve our prison system. Last year, the legislature set aside $413 million in the budget for it. Prison officials say they need more funding. They say a federal judge ruled services in the prisons were horrendously inadequate. State has proposed doubling the number of mental health providers working with inmates as part of a way to remedy the problems. A grant awarding $2.3 million to low-income Alabama residents to help them get a job and improve their quality of life. The grant from Health and Human Services will benefit at least 20 agencies statewide. The city of Tuscaloosa looking for bus drivers, offering financial incentives that includes a $1,000 signing bonus. You commit to 4 hours a day and are eligible for a full benefits package. Director of Transportation for the school system, Ron Schapacher, says there's opportunity to earn more.
We have midday routes. We have field trips. We have work programs. Drivers can get up to 8 hours per day in many cases.
I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
I-51 is about to roll up the cords for
that's right.
Day on Sports Talk.
That's right. Get home, get some supper, get warm, and
if you watch any sports tonight, it will be round balls.
Yes, it will. But you know, the buzz is in the air, Jason, for the Alabama and Georgia fans. You know, every day it's getting a day closer, and I can tell you're all excited about it.
I'm so tore up, I don't know that I'll sleep between now and then.
Like they say on Andy Griffith, you all keyed up.
Yeah. You know, honestly, it's not bothering me like a lot of Auburn fans. It's killing some Auburn fans, the fact that Alabama, who Auburn beat, Georgia, who Auburn beat, mm-hmm. are playing for the national title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my thing is Auburn didn't take care of business in That's the right. SEC championship, right. so.
And the backbreaker was the loss to LSU.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah that came back to. That came back
now,
to home.
That is one that I would pin on Gus Malzahn or Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, exactly. But
I think he learned a lesson in that one.
I do too.
I don't think he will put the foot on the brake hardly as fast.
Exactly. Alabama has an opportunity to win their fifth national title in, I think, 9 years, which is completely unheard of.
Fifth under Nick Saban.
That's right.
Nick Saban, if he wins it, will be sixth, counting one at LSU. That's something.
That is.
I don't think you see this again. I mean, this is.
I agree.
You better enjoy it now, and especially Alabama fans.
Yeah.
Auburn fans not going to enjoy it, but.
Right.
I'm not sure we see this again in our lifetime, somebody this dominant
right.
in college sports.
I agree. You know, and this is not rubbing it in this, at all, so don't take it that way. Nick Saban has had more 11-win seasons than Auburn has had in the history of their football program.
No, I don't
know. I mean, that, and that just, and it's not just Auburn. I mean, you can name a lot of colleges. I mean, that's how truly dominant, you know, he's been since he's got back in college football. So
I want to throw this out there real quick, too. Let's just for a moment have a fleeting memory. Imagine if Auburn had defeated Georgia in the SEC championship.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have Auburn versus Alabama for a national championship, right?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Auburn
I don't
would
know
have
how
beat
would
Oklahoma
have.
Or if Alabama would have played Oklahoma. Alabama would have probably played Oklahoma because Auburn would have probably been two.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know how
Alabama
that would have.
Would have
interesting thought.
It is. I agree.
Auburn and Oklahoma would have probably still played each other because Auburn would have been 2, Oklahoma 3, and Alabama 4.
Yeah. It may have stayed the same.
But I'm not sure Auburn would have beat Oklahoma.
I don't know either. I don't know that Alabama. I mean,
don't know if anybody yeah. wanted to play Oklahoma.
Georgia was able to hang in there.
They were.
And
hey, and let me say,
couldn't happen to
farewell right to our main
that's right.
man in the state of Oklahoma.
That's right. What
Baker,
goes around comes around.
Mayfield, goodbye.
Bye.
He was crying after the game, and you know that to me that just shows he cared about the game. But
yeah,
when he does that little chicken run down the sideline,
just gets
that,
under my
oh,
skin.
Yeah.
It's how I felt about Alabama fans for so long. They all had forgotten how to lose. It like hit him like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what
yeah.
am I going to do now? My yeah. season's over.
Yeah.
Will Baker Mayfield be anything in the NFL?
He's got a lot
I mean,
of the
he's going to go somewhere.
Yeah,
but
no question. I don't. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, he is.
It's hard to say.
Wild card. I don't.
Yeah.
He could be the best thing since sliced bread,
right.
or he may never play a down. So.
That's right. You just don't know. You know, Johnny Manziel. What about him playing in the Canadian? Going to be playing in the CFL.
I know not that. Heard that.
Yeah. Going to be in the CFL.
If he is sober enough to play,
he's
not beating any.
He will put people in the stands. You can count on that. Johnny will. Johnny football.
Yeah. He got the chance to. I didn't see Johnny Manziel, but he stayed at the hotel at the Auburn Florida State game that we stayed at,
uh-huh.
the Beverly Hilton.
Uh-huh.
And some people in our group got to see him. No other place than the bar. But anyway. Said Johnny Manziel in person, away from the cameras and all, is a super nice guy. Hmm. Took time out with everybody to take pictures.
Yeah.
And I know we hear all this terrible stuff, and in my opinion, him is not very high.
Yeah.
But they say, you know, he's an all right guy.
Yeah. What you hear is not always the truth. Can't believe everything you hear.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know?
Right.
All right, last question I'm going to ask you. We got to get out of here. You're picking Georgia to win. Correct?
Right.
What does Georgia do to be able to win the football game?
I think the two running backs at Georgia, Chubb and what's his name?
Sony Michelle.
Yeah. I think they are probably the best combo in college football.
Agree.
And the freshman quarterback at Georgia,
pretty
that's
salty.
Where it's going to be. If he has a good game, they win it. But if he don't, it could be ugly.
So you're
how
saying
how he handles that Alabama defense.
So what you're basically saying is they're going to run the ball, they're going to run the football well, and they're going to have a big day from Jake Fromm.
Yeah, I think they can run it well enough to open up a little passing, and if so, Alabama's in for a long day. But
I agree, and I agree with exactly what you said. I'm picking Alabama to win. The reason I'm picking Alabama to win, I don't think they're going to be able to run the football. I think Alabama will stop the run, forcing them to be one-dimensional with Jake Fromm. And if they can do that, it stands a very good chance of getting ugly.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm like you.
If Alabama stops the run, it will be ugly.
That's right. If they can stop the run, I think that's the telltale, most critical sign. If they can stop the run, it's over. If they cannot stop the run, it may be a dogfight or they may go down.
Real fast.
I think we'll know pretty early on.
Yeah.
Let me throw this back at you real quick. Auburn, you have to admit, was successful running the football against Alabama. I mean, Auburn
they were.
Racked up a number of yards against
they did.
Alabama. Who has the best running game, Auburn or Georgia?
Georgia.
Okay. So, if we go by Auburn, Georgia should have at least some success running football. And I think Fromm is a better quarterback than what Alabama's got.
I think I don't disagree with that at all.
But
for me, the difference is this. Alabama had a month to heal. They had a month to get some hurt people back. And they played with an edge against Clemson because, you know, a lot of people said they didn't deserve to be there. Now, did they use up their stinger against Georgia? If they did?
No.
If they used
not
up their stinger against Clemson, I don't know. Can they be as focused as they were against Clemson? I don't know. If they can, and if they can stop the run, that game is over. If they cannot stop the run, they stand a good possibility of getting beat.
All right, my last prediction, and then I'm out of here.
Yep.
If Alabama does stop the run,
mm-hmm.
I think you're looking at more of a score of it, and you're going to laugh at this one, but you could be looking at a 30-6, 30-10 type game.
I agree.
And that's going
to
turn some people inside out.
It's all about Georgia's running game.
All right, Monday night we will know. Until then, Alabama fans, you better get some sleep.
That's right.
The next couple of nights, because you probably won't sleep good Sunday night. Good luck to the Alabama faithful. Boy, that's tough to say, but good luck. And until then, War Eagle.
I'll leave you with a great big old Roll Tide.
All right, thanks for joining us. Sports Talk Live 95.5. We'll be back next Thursday with your winner.